Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Right now, let's talk science with Dr. Carl. Good morning, Dr. Carl. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Dr. Kathy. I've recovered from going to America and coming back with COVID and also having a bit of shoulder surgery. And luckily, my brain is still working fine, so lovely to be with you and wonderful new year.
And to you too, I'm very sorry to hear that you got COVID.
I was very lucky. I'd had 3 vaccinations.
Yes.
So I ended up getting a cough for a few days, which I denied to my family. And they're saying, you're coughing more. I'm saying, no, I'm not. I was wrong. They were right. And then I had what in Australia we call 3 days of, have you heard this phrase, a nanny nap?
No, no.
A nanny nap is what your grandmother or your nanny has in the afternoon. A nanny nap. It's alliteration. So for 3 days in a row, I found myself perfectly well in the morning with a bit of a cough, no big deal. And then suddenly in the early afternoon, I was tired. I don't just mean I was a little bit sleepy or I needed a cup of coffee. I had to go and lie down. I just had to. And then I just vanished for 3 hours. And when I came back, I was fine until the next afternoon and the next afternoon. And then after 3 days, I went away and I'm totally over it. Hooray for vaccines.
Thank God. Did you have any adverse reactions to your vaccinations?
The first day, the first vaccine, I had 2 AstraZenecas and 1 Pfizer. The first AstraZeneca, I once again just got very tired and I was forced. I absolutely forced, Dr. Kathy. I was forced to go to bed and watch a whole day of bad TV, having rolling fevers. And then my wife was very happy because I was nice and toasty warm. And the next morning, I was back to normal. Hooray.
Well, that's fantastic
news. How
about you? That's fantastic news. Thank God. So far, so good. I'm actually going for my booster shortly. So, yeah, that's it. Can we talk about your trip to New York City?
Yeah, New York was just amazing. Have you been to New York recently?
I have not.
Well, the weird thing about New York is that when you walk down the streets, the smell of legalized marijuana is on my 20 or so testing runs, 7 times more common in the streets than tobacco smoke. The ratio is about 5-1 in daytime, 10-1 at night. It got legalized in March 2021, which means that there's fewer people in jail. And by the way, legalization of cannabis does not seem to lead to increasing use of cannabis by the young. If they're going to use it, they're going to use it. They don't care. And so whether it's legal or not, it doesn't matter. And I had the weird experience of coming back after having some pizza on Sal's Pizzeria on 8th Avenue, coming past Times Square, which is where we were staying, going past a theater having an intermission at night. And there's people, New Yorkers, standing out in the street smoking cigarettes, and some of them were drinking alcohol from hip flasks. And there were 2 little old white-haired grannies sucking on an old-fashioned jazz cigarette like in the old days. It was so cute. They didn't have to hide around the corner.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Just talking about what's your thought on legalizing cannabis?
I'm going by the history around the world, and the latest history seems to be coming out of Portugal, where they've legalized everything, including heroin, and the crime rates and the rates of heroin use have gone down. And it's just simply, you use heroin, okay, here's a clean needle, we'll put you on methadone if you want. And my wife was actually involved in a methadone clinic as a medical doctor. And to my surprise, I went to pick her up one day, the people there are not your average newspaper stereotype of the junkie.
No, they're parents. They're parents
who people wearing shirts and ties and going to work.
Yeah.
And what happens is that on average, after about 5 to 10 years of using heroin, they go, I'm sick of this. And providing they're alive and providing on the way through they've been able to have methadone and pay taxes, all the way they've paid taxes, they're still alive, they're no extra cost to the system, and they pop out legally. And then in Australia, what we've had, I've been watching this for about 30, 40 years. Each time in each of the states in Australia, a commissioner of police retires, they said, look, we made a big mistake with drugs. We should have just legalized it and treated it like a medical problem, like you've got appendicitis. And then we would have ended up with fewer people ending up in jail and their whole lives going bad.
Very interesting. Look, I was actually going into this in some depth about cannabis. So cannabis, one of the things that it does is it takes away people's drive and ambition and motivation, which is not good. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, I mean, the United States have got a massive, massive opioid crisis caused by painkillers. And from there, people go on to heroin. So it's not surprising. So here's the question. Is it not a false, a false reflection when we see, well, you know what, legalizing heroin and legalizing cannabis, the crime rate didn't go up. Well, it didn't go up because it's no longer a crime. But the same things are probably still happening. The same number of house robberies are probably still going to be happening to fund people's, habits. What's your thought on that?
Read up on what they're finding in Portugal.
Yeah.
And have a look the last 5 years. And in general, if the drugs are illegal, they're much more expensive. And then to fund them, they have to steal. Whereas if they're legal, or at least it's not criminal, the price comes right down and they don't have to steal. And talking with the cops in New York, they said overwhelmingly violence has just dropped in the streets.
Well, that's
so
weird.
If you're having a venue and people are drinking, they'll come out and they want to find somebody to have a fight with. But if it's marijuana, it's, how you going, man? See you later. And so the violence rates have dropped enormously. On the other hand, you did raise a very good point about the motivation. The thing is that the human brain is not fully cooked until it's in its early 20s.
Yes.
So overwhelmingly, I would recommend that people don't take it until they get to their early 20s, any drugs. But drugs are part of society. And so you have people saying who drink their 10 glasses of beer every day saying drugs are bad, but they don't see alcohol as a drug and they don't see tobacco as a drug. So in Australia, tobacco kills 19,000 people every year. The revenue from tobacco is about $10 billion, but the costs to the community are about $40 million a year. So we've got this weird situation where we've legalized a drug that kills just under 20,000 Australians every year, and we're paying $20 billion a year for the privilege of killing 20,000 of our citizens. If we are going to ban a drug, at least ban tobacco because it kills so many people, but it doesn't cause a social disharmony that alcohol causes. They're different drugs.
Dr. Carl, that is where we leave it. Thank you so much. Always interesting listening to what you have to say. And well done on terming the selfie, by the way. Just well done
on
that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care. God bless.